Gummer, Joe Rustavelli Avenue. This is BeelPod.com. The Week in Georgia in English, coming at you from our perch in lovely and historic Tatsminda, Tbilisi. Today is Thursday, the 31st of July, 2014. On this date, in 1492, the Jews are expelled from Spain when the Alhambra decree takes effect. Didn't work out so well for Spain. Now their descendants can get Spanish passports, FYI. 1790, the first U.S. patent is issued to inventor Samuel Hopkins for a potash process. 1932, the Nazi Party wins 38% of the vote in the German elections. 1954, the first ascent of the world's toughest mountain, K2. 1975, Jimmy Hoffa, head of the Teamsters Union, disappears. 1990, Nolan Ryan wins his 300th baseball game. 1991, the United States and Soviet Union both signed the START 1 Strategic Arms Reduction Treaty, the first to reduce with verification both countries stockpiled. It expired in 2009, and Russia said it wants more nukes, mainly because Obama wants fewer. 1992, Georgia joins the United Nations. 2012, Michael Phelps breaks the record set in 1964 by Larissa Latinina for the greatest number of medals won in an Olympics. Birthdays today are Milton Friedman, the economist, J.K. Rowling, the former welfare recipient while she was writing Harry Potter, and Jessica Williams, the Daily Show actress, as well as famous director and Arminophobe Rabiko Sturua. 1 year ago, the great Texas writer John Graves died. If you can, read Goodbye to a River or anything else he wrote. Today it's me, Mark Mullen, and special guest star, the Lion of Lusaka, Brian McCotter. If you'd like to comment on the blog or ask a question, go to tbilpot.com or send us an email at tbilpot@gmail.com. My Georgian Journal and Tfidis Politra column this week is about Misha's. By the way, I'm doing that again. Had a little rest for a year, but I'm back. So this is about Misha's sentencing and truth versus vengeance and how it would be nice if the UNM would apologize, but mainly it would be good if the new government would just chill out a little bit. On the 28th of July, Misha was criminally charged for violently cracking down on anti-government protesters and storming Imedi TV station in Tbilisi on the 7th of November 2007. Charged along with Misha are then Interior Minister Vano Merabashvili, Chief Prosecutor Zura Deshvili, Defense Minister Dato Kezadeshvili, and Tbilisi Mayor Gigi Ugulava. Vano and Gigi are currently in detention. The other two are abroad. Charges were announced after Misha failed to show up for questioning by the prosecutor's office earlier the same day. He's also charged in connection with taking over the property of TV Imedi's owner, businessman Badri Patrikatsashvili, now dead. Later on the same day, Misha responded to the criminal charges brought against him, writing on his Facebook page that he never committed a crime. He wrote that, quote, "Even though Russia used to organize disorder for us, very often through politicians, we never jailed any politicians because national agreement was the supreme value for us, and I resigned in 2007 to retain this value," end quote. So, they never jailed any politicians. Who knew? He added that in 2012, his government allowed for a peaceful transition of power, while those people now in power didn't respond the same way. Four U.S. senators, John McCain, Ben Cardin, Gene Sheehan, and Jim Risch, two Democrats, two Republicans, issued a statement on Monday, the 28th of July, expressing their disappointment about the charges against Misha and called on the prime minister and the government to focus on moving the country forward rather than focusing on the past. On the 29th of July, Prime Minister Irakli Kharabashvili said in a statement that the government welcomes an objective investigation. He wrote that the process is open and people will be able to analyze all the evidence in the case. He also said that the prosecutor's office took an important step by charging those who possibly violated the law. UNM claims the charges are a political ploy and will have negative repercussions for Georgia's image. On the 30th of July, U.S. State Department released a statement saying that it's concerned by the filing of criminal charges against Misha. It continues to say that the legal system should not be used as a tool of political retribution. Meanwhile, a report released last week by the United Nations Human Rights Committee urges Georgia to continue its trials against former officials. UN experts argue for the need to hold former officials accountable, particularly when it comes to people who were allegedly disappeared by the government during and immediately after the 2008 war and people who were tortured in prisons. As a reminder, Misha was first called in for questioning in March, but refused to come back to Georgia because he's so busy at Tufts, and also refused to answer questions via Skype. He was asked a second time to come and answer questions on the 26th of July, even though it was clear that he would not show up. And then also he'll be thrown in jail for a really, really long time, you know? I mean, let's be honest, Brian. It's vengeance, you know? They're just ticked off, and that's what's happening here.
Probably couldn't agree more.
On the night of the 27th of July, almost all of Georgia was without electricity for several hours after three high-voltage lines of the Tulasi Electricity Distribution Company failed. Trains stopped, and all TV channels except Rustavi Ori TV went off the air. Power lines are located in Imereti, in the center of the country, and connect the eastern and western parts. Law enforcement bodies are working to determine why the transition lines failed. It appears to have been a malfunction. While the lines were being repaired, Georgia was supplied with electricity imported from Armenia in Turkey. Government has filed charges against Misha for the... No, not kidding. Not really. On the 24th of July, appeals court acquitted the head of Rustavi Ori, Nika Gvaramia, in a corruption case. In December 2012, Gvaramia was charged with accepting a bribe, money laundering, preparing and using fake financial documents, and forging documents. He was released on 30,000 lari bail. The money must be returned to him within a month. On the 30th of July, Tbilisi City Court acquitted a former security official of terrorism charges, but found him guilty of exceeding his official authority. Roman Shamatava was sentenced to 4 years and 6 months in jail for a shooting and grenade attack incident in the village of Kurcha on the Abkhaz border in May 2008 during voting day for parliament. Shamatava, a former head of Kudi of Abkhazia and within the Georgian Interior Ministry, and Malho Morgulia, former officer from the Interior Ministry's Special Task Force in Samegrelo, were arrested in October 2013. Morgulia was released a month later on bail. After pleading guilty, the prosecution gave him a plea bargain deal, and he received a conditional sentence. The prosecutor's office said that it will definitely appeal Shamatava's verdict to a higher court. According to the energy minister and vice prime minister Kahi Kaladze, a claim made by the former owner of Caucasus Online that Kaladze purchased the company is not true. According to businessman Mamia Sanadiradze, Kaladze illegally purchased 56% of the shares of Caucasus Online through two associates. Caucasus Online said that there have been no changes to the company's shareholders since 2010. Internet service sure is bad in Georgia, much worse than it was before, since the Rose Revolution. By the way, UNM Member of Parliament Gia Bonamidze wants to ban Russian news channels in Georgia. He floated the idea on his Facebook page, but has not made a formal proposal. He later explained that Russian news have turned into a propaganda machine, particularly when it comes to recent events in Ukraine. Not sure the mechanism by which that would happen. The government promised once more to find a solution for Muslims in Batumi to have a place to pray. The city's only mosque, Orta Jame, is too small to fit in all the worshippers coming for prayers. Batumi's Muslims have been asking for permission to construct a new mosque for decades. The government promises to expand the Orta Jame mosque, though the Muslim community does not like the idea, saying, for one, that it still won't be enough, and second, that Orta Jame is a historical monument and modifying it would destroy its authentic qualities. Jemal Paksadze, the Mufti of Western Georgia, called on Muslims to be patient, adding that he's sure that the government will fulfill its promise following the meeting with Prime Minister Garibashvili. We'll see. But there are certainly a lot of Muslims who would like to pray during the tourist season there. On the 26th of July, a group of Orthodox meatheads protested in Tbilisi against the electronic musical festival Kazantip. Electronic music festival. I don't know, somehow that doesn't really describe it, but okay, anyway. That'll be held in Anakli at the end of August. They want the festival canceled, arguing that it is not correct to have it in the country with ancient traditions, religion, and culture, and that the festival will be a place of drugs, orgies, and, yes, sodomy. The same day, locals in Anakli demonstrated in support of the festival. They said they took bank loans to renovate their houses in order to offer accommodation to festival visitors. The day before the conservatives' rally, the church issued a statement declaring that it is against the holding of the festival. The Ministry of Economy dismissed the head of the National Tourism Administration, Gio Sigua, because of his inappropriate actions. According to their statements, he was warned repeatedly about his behavior. As a result, will be officially replaced from the 4th of August. The main reason for his dismissal, allegedly, is due to a recent incident in which Sigua was meeting with locals in Anaclia regarding Kazantip and asked one of the attendees if she had ever had sex on the beach. The Minister of Economy, Gio Kvitikashvili, later apologized for Sigua's remarks in Parliament. Sigua has denied the reports about his dismissal and commented that he has lots of work to do and isn't going to leave his post. On the 29th of July, a group of Georgians demonstrated in front of the old Parliament building in Tbilisi in support of Israel. The rally was planned through Facebook and was attended by about 50 people. Representatives of the Jewish community in Georgia were present and thanked the organizers for their support. People brought posters reading, "Solidarity with Israel," and "Israel, we stand by you as you bomb children." No, the posters didn't really say that, but that was the implied thing that it said on the posters. More than 500,000 children in Georgia will receive free school books for the upcoming school year. The government's going to invest 12 million lari to cover the cost of the books. Education Minister Tako Sanakidze said that they will only print 65% of all needed books this year, as the books printed last year are still in good shape. She's seen every one of them and can be reused. As a reminder, the free school books project was implemented last year by Georgi Margvelashvili, who was then education minister, now president. School books have been traditionally a great source of corruption in Georgia. The best way to fix this is to have open source Creative Commons licensed textbooks that anyone can download, print, or edit, including publishers or printers or anybody that's got a printer. So far, that has not yet happened. After a delegation of the Russian Federal Service for Veterinary and Physiosanitary Control, Roskel Kolzadohor, visited Georgia, nectarine and peach exports to Russia intensified. According to the National Food Agency, 3,500 tons of fruit were exported since the 10th of July. The food agency says that after Russia increased the list of goods that can be imported from Georgia, the company's activities increased in sales of potatoes, watermelons, and other products to the Russian market. On the other hand, on the 30th of July, Russian news agency RIA Novosti reported that Russia is suspending the free trade agreement signed with Georgia 20 years ago in 1994. According to the draft presented by the Ministry of Economy of Russia, the suspension of free trade was also agreed to along with Russia's Ministry of Foreign Affairs and Ministry of Justice. The suspension is connected with the recent ratification of the Georgia-EU Association Agreement, which includes a deep and comprehensive free trade area that will take effect from the 1st of September. Prime Minister's Special Representative for Relations with Russia, Zura Abashidze, commented that the move was expected. According to the latest data by Geostat, 4.6 million people live in Georgia. Of this number, 52% are women and 48% are men. This is 186,000 more people than in 2012. 26% of the country's population live in Tbilisi. Some 1.2 million people, 55% are women and 45% are men. According to Geostat, 0.6% of the total population is abroad. On the 30th of July, a large fire broke out at the Gulf Petrol base in Guldani, destroying a dozen cars and six car repair buildings. One person was injured. Firefighters from several fire brigades and other emergency services fought the blaze for 2 hours before it was brought under control. State of damage is not yet confirmed. According to eyewitnesses, the fire was very serious and there were explosions and a huge cloud of thick black smoke. 27th of July, three people died in the town of Vani when Imereti was flooded. In the town of Vani in Imereti when it was flooded, heavy rains caused the river to swell, swooping up and carrying away several cars. A total of five people were in the cars. Flood killed livestock, flooded homes, and caused a bridge connecting two villages to collapse. Government will cover the funeral costs of the victims. Georgian and Turkish soccer players clashed in Tbilisi during the qualification match for UEFA Europa League. Georgia's Çaykur defeated Turkey's Bursa 4-1 in a penalty shootout. The scuffle started when a Georgian football player celebrated the goal at the tribute of the Turkish fans, but the situation was soon defused by police. Later, there was another quarrel in the media room when Turkish and Georgian journalists started insulting and fighting each other until the police rushed in to separate them. Young Georgian singer Nuza Buzaladze won New Wave 2014, the 13th annual international music contest held in Jūrmala, Latvia, a place that Brian and I have visited.
We have, indeed.
After singer Soso Pavliashvili and the group Georgia, Nuza is the third Georgian contestant to win the contest. On the 16th of July, U.S. imposed sanctions on Russia in response to Russia's ongoing violation of Ukraine's sovereignty and its use of military and non-military means to destabilize the country. The goal of the sanctions is to persuade Russia to de-escalate the situation. Likewise, on the 23rd of July, thanks to the hard work by the London correspondent for Spielpod, the EBRD said that it was not going to approve new investments projects in Russia, which is one of the biggest recipients and 20% of its portfolio. Nice job, EBRD. American political scientists Francis Fukuyama and Mike McFaul will be in Tbilisi in August as part of a Stanford retreat. Fall was U.S. ambassador to Russia, former NDI employee and all-around man about the region, one of Obama's early advisors on things Eurasian. Parliamentary news. On the 26th of July, the parliament gave a confidence vote for the government after several ministers were replaced by Kharibashvili. UNM members of parliament left the session hall in a show of protest. Interior Minister Alexei Chkaidze reported on a major drug bust earlier this month, possibly the largest ever, when a trailer was stopped in Georgia containing 2.8 tons of liquid heroin. Chkaidze said his investigators found out it was Afghan drugs belonging to that person, Taliban. and boy, did he catch a lot of flack for that, you know? Poor guy. Interior Minister Chkaidze, not the sharpest knife in the drawer. On the 24th of July, UNM MP Chiyoda Taktakeshvili and Georgian Dream MP Eka Beselia insulted each other during a meeting at the Human Rights Committee. The committee was discussing the Public Defender's annual report for 2013 when Taktakeshvili called committee head Beselia, quote, a lawyer for the thieves, end quote, and claimed that she was defending the interests of the prosecutor's office in parliament. Beselia demanded an apology and then called her opponent a criminal, representative of torturers, like-minded to murderers, and called the UNM a band of criminals. At that point, Taktakeshvili stood up to leave the meeting room, but on the way out, switched off Beselia's microphone. Beselia commented that Taktakeshvili needs to be taken to a psychiatric clinic. Not the first time the two women have argued during committee meetings. Their quarrels usually end with Taktakeshvili leaving the room. Member of Parliament Dima Kundadze, head of the Healthcare Committee in Parliament for Georgian Dream, presented a draft bill which will amend the criminal code concerning abortion. According to the draft, performing an illegal abortion will be punished with 120 to 300 hours of community service or 1 or 2 years in jail. If the abortion permanently damages the woman's ability to have children, it will be punishable by a 2 to 5 year sentence in jail, and if the illegal abortion causes death, it will be punished by up to 6 years in jail. Georgian Dream Member of Parliament Gheorghe Kakhiani said that it's necessary to have tougher regulations for illegal abortions because it has been too liberal. He explained that until now, and if an illegal abortion caused death, it is only punishable by up to 3 years. According to most recent data from the Georgian National Statistics Department, there were 30,600 registered abortions in 2011. There's no data about illegal abortions. As a reminder, last year, Ilia II proposed to ban abortions completely. Many voiced opposition to the ban, including government officials who argued that banning abortion would only encourage illegal abortions, which is certainly true. In general, Georgia, like other post-Soviet countries, has one of the highest abortion rates in the world. A draft law introducing new salary bonus regulations for people working in the government structures was initiated in the parliament and will likely be discussed in the autumn session. Under the new rules, high-ranking public figures will be deprived of the right of granting themselves bonuses. All bonuses will be required to be signed off by the head of a division only after the employee's direct supervisor provides a detailed explanation as to why the person deserves the bonus. Cash bonuses cannot be higher than the person's salary, and bonuses will only be offered no more than once every quarter. In Kvitis Azrebi this week, writer Shota Iatashvili stated, talked about the security, about security and self-defense. According to the writer, to be weak is more secure than to be strong. There are always more threats for the stronger person. If you have an iron door, there's always someone trying to break in and take what's inside. Those who appear weak don't threaten anyone, don't attract attention, and therefore have more of a chance of living safely and surviving. Meme this week is a video of Misha recorded sometime between 95 and 99 when he was deputy in parliament for the political party Citizens Union. The video was uploaded to YouTube in July. The footage, a young future president talks to a Rustavioti journalist about his sports life and jogs several laps for the camera.
Nice.
It's a, yeah, it's quite a quite a thing. You should check it out. It's been floating around on Facebook. Things to read, an article at Carnegie.ru by Tom Duvall titled Georgia's Drama of the Past. According to Duvall, depending on who you talk to, Georgia's ongoing domestic political drama is either told as a heroic tale of justice, a tragedy, or a comic opera. He says that the charges against Misha are politically unwise and will cause the Georgian government a lot of trouble internationally. An ECFR report on Georgia's need for a new strategy to protect the European choice of Ukraine, Moldova, Armenia, and Georgia. The publication features reports from policy experts from four countries. This is a good group, worth reading. Article by Christopher Berglund of Uppsala University that charts the last decade of Georgian politics through theories of semi-authoritarianism and democratization. First dissects Misha's system of dominant power politics and analyzes the game between the ruling party and the opposition in the run-up to the 2012 parliamentary elections, goes on to the tenth period of cohabitation, and finally examines if Georgian dream is taking Georgia in the direction of democracy or authoritarian closure. Quite academic, but interesting. Article by Lincoln Mitchell about democracy and pluralism in Georgia, according to the article.
Really?
Yeah.
Really, Mark?
Yeah, yeah. Why really? Not? Why not? Check out what Lincoln has to say. According to the article, the two main structural challenges facing Georgian democracy are the cyclical nature of dominant party consolidation and collapse and the absence of pluralism.
That horse is dead. It's been beaten.
So, the article by Lincoln's colleague Joshua Cusera in Eurasianet.org that claims that the U.S. is preparing a military aid package of about $35 million additional to help Georgia, Moldova, and Ukraine defend themselves against Russia. It's not clear how the money would be divided between these three countries, though the extra aid wouldn't necessarily be a big boost for Georgia, which has been getting more than $100 million of U.S. aid per year to prepare its troops for Afghanistan. The hardest working NGO in the Caucasus is TI Georgia, published a guidebook on the most important open data sources in Georgia, useful for journalists, NGO activists, researchers, business people, and anybody who needs to figure stuff out using primary sources. They provide instructions on how to find announced government tenders and how to identify owners of specific companies. An article in Vestnik Kavkaza by Geo Kala Zoshvili about the incident at the Surd Eshmiadzin Church in Tbilisi's Avlabadi neighborhood between Georgians and Armenians. He outs the incident in the context of being between two communities over the past few decades. An article in the Sydney Morning Herald Traveler about eye-opening spots you've never heard of featuring Georgia. According to the article, the whole country feels freshly renovated from cities to roads, hotels, and tourist attractions. And an article by Will Cathcart in the Daily Beast about criminal charges against Misha pointing at BI and Putin and the threat to Georgian democracy. It quotes me and is certainly worth reading because it quotes me. All these things will be in the to-read section in the forum. Geo Capital number this week is 493 million lari. This is the revenue received as an increase in liabilities according to available data from the execution of the state budget for the past 6 months. This is 23% less than the planned amount to borrow. This roughly includes 346 million lari received from domestic liabilities and 147 lari from foreign liabilities. Announcement. From today, the 31st of July, till Wednesday, the 6th of August, Aminani Movie Theater will be showing Hercules 3D at 2:30 and at 10:30 p.m. For the month of August, Dom Kino across from Rustavelli McDonald's will be showing on Friday, the 1st of August, Apocalypse Now, Saturday, the 2nd of August, Rumblefish, Sunday, the 3rd of August, Dracula. Movies are at 7, and this time are not in Russian, but in English. Georgian Summer Fest will be held from the 15th to the 17th of August in Batumi. The festival will feature 90s pop stars like Boney M and Ace of Base. You can purchase the tickets at bilitebi.ge. Prices start from 70 lari. Boney M is a 90s pop band. Isn't that kind of an 80s pop band or like a 70s?
Late 80s crossover.
Late 80s crossover. All right, good. If you're interested in mountain biking, you can join a tour of Tuscheti from the 22nd to the 28th of August. Full service hotels, breakfast, lunch, dinner, but you can choose to camp, sort out your food, tighten your budget. The group has mountain bikes to rent and 4x4s. Contact georidersmtb@gmail.com. Picasso Place Preschool is offering music and science summer camp for kids 3 to 6. Weekly attendance is available from the 8th of August, 9 to 5 p.m. Schedule is flexible, as is pickup time. Tuition is 175 lari a week. You can find them at picassoplacepreschool@gmail.com. So, Brian, any closing words, any thoughts about the arrests or Georgia and Ukraine or business opportunities?
Sure, Mark. You know, I've always got thoughts. I feel it's unfortunate that that the government has moved forward with this prosecution of our former president.
Why? He probably did all that stuff.
He probably did do a number of things that are questionable. However, I think we have to look at it on a macro and a micro level. On a micro level, of course, there probably is a lot of guilt. But on the macro level, for the country, for the political system, for the future, you know, this Back to the Future policy, we're 2 years into this government, we got to move forward. We need forward progress, we need vision, we need projects. We don't need rehashing the political past. You know, we heralded Georgia's democratic transition. The former ruling party handed over power peacefully.
Kind of.
Mostly.
I mean, there was not a lot of jail time. There was a lot of give us back the money. But Shevardnadze...
No, I'm sorry. But the dream, from UNM handing over to the Georgian dream.
Right.
They
let him win elections. Yeah.
It was a great moment in Georgian democracy. I think going forward, 2 years in, we've got to stop rehashing the past and focus on the future.
I mean, hey, I'm a Democrat. I hate Richard Nixon. Guy was a criminal and a jerk, bad for America, you know, but I still think Ford pardoning him was a good thing. And that ticked people off at the time.
Absolutely. I mean, listen to what we've got going on in the United States with the House allowing the president to be sued over health care. And, you know, that's just a degree of vengeance in that legislation that was passed legally that a group of people does not agree with. And how do you stall that legislation? Via sort of extrajudicial means. You bring up these sort of very difficult, revenge-oriented ideas and policies.
Yeah, vengeance is so 20th century, you know.
In a region that is known for perhaps some of its vengeance-oriented focus.
It's just, I don't know, I think all this concentration on vengeance it's bad for the kids. And it's unchristian, I would also add, for those who bother to read the Bible, you know, and see what it says about forgiveness and Kazantip and, you know, that sort of thing. Well, that's it for this week. My Twitter address is @txtbuk. Our email is tbilpod@gmail.com, or post to the forum on our website, tbilpod.com. And we will finish with, from 2010, Nas and Damian Marley with As We Enter.
As we enter, come make we take upon the biggest adventure.
Must be dementia that you ever thought you could touch our credentials. What's the initials?
QB Jamrock, the lyrical official. Send out the order, laws and the rituals.
Burn candles, say prayers, paint mirrors. It is truth, we big news, we hood heroes.
So ask the anchor, we come to bunker. On a bad man, we not play Willy Wonka.
And I got the guns,
I got the ganja.
And we can blaze it up on your block if you wanna. Or haze it up, stash spots in a Hummer. Or you can run up and get done up.
Or get something that you want none of. Unlimited amount to call. Direct from us, truth intellectuals.
And I'm shrewd about decimals. And my man to speak patois. And I can speak rap star, y'all feel me. Even if it's in Swahili, a body Ghani.
Missouri Sana, switch up the language, I move to Ghana.
Salute and honor, real revolution rhymers.
Written piranhas,
like two Obamas.
Unfold the drum.
Word is out, hysteria you heard about. Nas and Junior Khan can't turn it out. Body the verses till I scream murder out. The king's is back, time to return the crown. Who won it? Tuck your chain with dude coming. Renegades that appeal your back like new hunters. Bet your jewels on it, you don't wanna lose on it. Either move on or move on it.
Queens to Kingston, gunshot we use and govern the kingdom. Rise up the Winston. I can see the fear up in your eyes, realize you could die in the instant. Knocking at the sound of your voice when you must lose your life like mice in the kitchen. Snitching. I can see him pissing on himself and he wetting up his thighs and he trying to resist it. Switching. I can spend him digging up shit like a flag on my own and keep persisting. That's how you end up in the hit list. In a bad man business. No evidence. Rhymes in fingerprintless. Flow effortless. Casual like the weekend. No pressure when we're comfy and decent. Set this off beasting. Hunting season. And frankly speaking, word is out, hysteria you heard about. Nas and Junior Gun, can I turn it out? Body the verses till I scream murder out. The kings is back, time to return the crown. Who won it? Tuck your chain with dude coming. Renegades that appeal your back like new hunters. Bet your jewels on it, you don't wanna lose on it. Either move on or move on it. Word is out, hysteria you heard about. Nas and Junior Gun, can I turn it out? Body the verses till I scream murder out. The kings is back, time to return the crown. Who won it? Tuck your chain with dude coming. Renegades that appeal your back like new hunters. Bet your jewels on it, you don't wanna lose on it. Either